So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
We are live on the Property Cash Flow Show. Welcome, my name's Dan Latto. Today is Wednesday, and every Wednesday, 12 noon UK time, we go live with the Property Cash Flow Show. If you've got any questions about property investing, property sourcing, property coaching, buy to let, investing in the UK, investing generally, stocks and shares, anything like that, anything to do with property, anything to do with investing, anything to do with I put a lump of money in, I get a lump of money out. Happy to answer any questions on that, and you will get my honest answer. Whatever that is, and I don't know what the answer is sometimes myself. I'm making it up on the spot because I've never been asked it before. But a lot of the time when we get asked stuff, we've been asked it a million times. We already know what the answer is, and we implement what we know. And that's done very well for me for the last 20 years. If you're listening to this on a podcast, thank you so much for listening. Go and give us a like and a five-star review. That's always nice. Give us a thumbs up. But if you're watching live, then welcome to. And in this session, I want to talk to you about whether your main residence should be rented or whether you should be buying it as an investor, if you're an investor. Okay, so let me put this into context of where we are, because this is very relevant to where I am right now in my life. Okay, so for the last 20 years, I've been buying properties, as you know, and I bought my own house going back 20 years ago, £40,000, still got it. We rent it out now. We've got permission to do that too. Of course, that's important. But I bought my very first house. It was a below market value deal. It was a gifted deposit, although I didn't understand those terms back then 20 years ago. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But I bought my own house. Now, interestingly, I kept buying houses. Some I've moved into and then turned them into buy-to-lets, and others were just strictly buy-to-lets. But I always had my own place. I never really rented. After I'd bought a place, I never rented anywhere. And so that continued for about 15 years. And then we moved to Spain. Okay, so I still kept the house in the UK. I kept that for the following 4 years. And in the last couple of years, we've been in Spain about 6 years. The last couple of years, we actually rent out the main home now. I haven't got a house to go back to in the UK. So all my portfolio is rented. Okay. So put that in mind. When I go back to Leeds, I go stay at the nice hotel in the city centre there. And that's where my home is when I go back to Leeds. And I don't go back very often. Now, this is really important to put into context. The house that I live in here in Spain is a rental. I know, it's really bad, isn't it? We've got millions of pounds of properties that we own in the UK, and Dan rents. Like, I know, it's crazy, right? Like, what's that about? But that's what we do. And there's a couple of reasons why we do it. So first of all, this is really important. And I discovered this when I moved into a city centre flat, a penthouse, £250,000. I was, you know, the most expensive property in there, and everybody else were in studios and one beds and normal two beds. Tenants and that kind of thing, and so the quality of the tenants was lower than if everybody was owner occupiers paying £250,000 for a nice flat in Leeds. And so, you know, you come in at work, you come in on a night time at 3 o'clock in the morning. The next door neighbor would come in from a night out and turn up the bass and put the bass on at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's crazy. It should drive me mad. And actually, my mistake at that point was, I'd moved from living in a house where I owned the house and we didn't have neighbours, like, you know, wall-to-wall neighbours, into moving into a situation where we had wall-to-wall neighbours. I'd never lived that lifestyle before, and I'd bought this £250,000 property to find out that actually living in blocks of flats, you just have a dickhead above you, a dickhead below you, a dickhead either side, and one behind you. So that was my lesson, and we've incorporated that lesson here in Spain, because people go, well, why have you not bought in Spain? So there's a couple of reasons. One, we don't know what we're doing in Spain. We have no idea. Why would we buy in a place and invest in a place and we've got zero idea? So we wanted to wait a little time. We wanted to find out where we're going to live. Like, what if we moved here and then in 3 years we moved to another place and 3 years we moved to another place and we're just picking up all these random houses in random places? So that wasn't going to work for us either. So we made a decision to rent. Now, we've been renting here been in Spain 6 years. We had one place. Up in Valencia, and then we live in this place just outside of Valencia, about an hour north on the Mediterranean coast. We've lived here for 5 years, and we pay 1,000 euros a month. Now, listen to this, folks. This gets me excited. Look, I'm getting all excited. So we pay a grand a month in euros, about £900. It used to be 750. Thank you, Brexit. That's cost me 150 quid a month for the last 3 years. So £1,000 a month. And for £1,000 a month, we get a 4-bed detached villa with a swimming pool that's 150 metres from the beach, which is, I'm pointing over there because that's where it is. That sign there, that is actually where the beach is. We're 150 metres. The swimming pool's just out there. It's a detached house. We'll pay €1,000. Why the hell would we buy when we've got this beautiful place for €1,000 a month? Okay, that's number one. Okay. Number two is to buy this place, let's say, and bear in mind, in Spain, it's fine getting your deposit on the house. The tax in Spain is about 7% as well. I think it's 7%. So you've got to add that on. So if it's 20% for the deposit, you've got to add another 7% for all the transaction taxes. So you're talking almost 30% down for a house here in Spain. So if it's £500,000, you do the math, what's that, 150 grand down? So let me think about this. Do I put 150 grand down on a deposit on a house and then I mortgage for 350 grand, which I still then have to pay the mortgage, which is about €1,000 a month, right? Or do I keep the money, pay the €1,000 a month, which is what I would be paying on a mortgage, just interest only? Forget about repaying the mortgage, it's just interest only. What the hell am I buying for? It just doesn't actually make any sense. Now, it doesn't make sense for me to buy, but what about you if you're living in England? And so I want to cover this. I want to get some numbers down here as well, because I think this is important. So I'm going to do this twice. I'm going to do this one for me, and I'm going to do this one for you in the UK or wherever you happen to be in the world. Now, interestingly, Grant Cardone kind of put me onto this, because I'm like, no, I need to buy my own place. You need your own gaff, you know, you want security. And obviously, he believes that you should never buy your own place, ever. Complete waste of money. Move all that money into an asset. So let's cover this. So right now in Spain, on a £50,000 property, we can get into a deal like that for £15,000 down. Now, it's in euros, and I'm just going to pretend that euros and pounds are the same currency because it just makes it easier. So let's call it 45 grand. 15 grand down will get you into the deal. That 15 grand will get you at £200 a month. £200 a month times 12. Whoops. 200 a month times 12 is 2,400 divided by 15,000 is a 16% return on investment. Well, that's not bad. We quite like that. Now, think about this. I mentioned 150 grand down. So if it's 15 grand to get into a deal, I can get 10 of those deals that are paid. I can do the maths. But are paying 200 a month. That's now paying £2,000 a month, and yet I'm spending £1,000 a month on rent. Why would I get myself into a mortgage where I've got to put 150 grand down when I could put the same 150 grand over into these investment properties that are going to pay me 2 grand a month so that we could move out of this £1,000 a month gaff. We could move into a £2,000 a month somewhere on the beachfront, much bigger house. You know, for all those bedrooms that we need, for all those guests that never turn up. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't actually make any sense. Or that 2 grand a month pays for £1,000, and then let's go buy a Tesla Cybertruck. Let's go buy the ugliest car you've ever seen. And I was thinking in the car, do you know what? I think I might just buy one of those. I think next month I'm going to put the 100 euros down. I don't know why I'm not doing it this month, but we're nearly next month out with 4 more days. But I'm like, I think I might put some money down because, you know, it's supposed to be here in 2 years. You know, it's 3 years. I'm like, oh, we could save up and pay cash for that. That's quite interesting. 70 grand is about 55,000 pounds. We could save up over the next 3 years, 1,500 quid a month. Bang, 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 bang. Buy it for cash. Now you've got it. Brilliant. Or even you put all the money into properties, okay, and the money that comes back from those properties, they pay for the truck. So now you've got your house and a truck free of charge because actually you've moved your money into properties. This is what doesn't make sense to me. People are moving into houses, and invariably when they move into the house, the house of their dreams, okay, the mortgage to the hilt, the very top end of what they can afford. So if interest rates rise, they're pretty screwed, right? They have no investments at all. So the only income they get is from their job. That makes me very nervous. It gives me the heebie-jeebies, and I hope it gives you the heebie-jeebies too, because if it doesn't, it should do. What if you lose your job? And like, get insurance on that job, by the way. We're just buying into some insurance right now for like 50 quid a month, and basically if I die, we get, my wife gets like 40 grand a year until I get to the age of 65. So another 18 years. For 18 years, she'll get 40 grand, tax-free. She's covered. Do you know what I mean? So we're fine. But it worries me. What if you lose your job? What if something happens and you can't work like you do right now and you've got no insurance? You've got to get that stuff in place. But the biggest worry for me is that people have zero assets. I was just looking at I've got shares in AT&T, and shares in the AT&T, they pay about 5%. I'm like, where's the money coming from? Like, where's it gone? The dividend payments, where's that money? So I was checking through, and with Hargreaves Lansdown, which I highly recommend, and I was looking through, and it's there, it's all there, it's in cash. I'm like, I need to just start reinvesting this money. But these are the conversations that you need to start having. Where's the money coming from? What's the income? Where's the income coming from? How much is the income? What's the tax on that income? What type of income is it? Like at the moment, I've not got a book, and I am well jealous because I've got, for example, Tina Walsh, who's a best-selling author and does property sourcing compliance. I'm well jealous of Tina. She's got a book. It's £25 a month. I do know how many copies, but I'm not, she sells every month, but I'm not going to mention it. But that is a source of income, and I love that as a source of income, and I'm jealous because I haven't got that source of income. And when Tina gets that source of income, and I don't know if she does this, but she should be, and if you're watching Tina, you need to do this, you should be putting that money into stocks and shares or into property and using that money so it turns out even more money. Because your money works best when your money is making money off the money it's already earned. Does that make sense? Let me say it again. the position that you want to get into is where your money is making more money from the money it's already earned, okay? So that first property that I bought 20 years ago for £40,000, it's a HMO. The mortgage is, I don't know what mortgage is, £200 a month, let's say, and it pulls in £1,200. So call it another £400 on top for utility bills, call it 600 quid a month in bills. It makes 1,200, I'm making £600 a month from that, let's say. It's great. Now, £600 a month is £7,200 a year profit. Let's take that over 10 years, 70 grand. How many deposits can I get out of that 70 grand? Three or four, maybe, in lease, 60, 70 grand units. Now, the profit from that is now making more profit. This is exactly what you want. You want your money to be making more money than it's already made its money on. That's where success comes from. And it ends up being like this, what's the word, where it increases exponentially. So I was listening today how the wealthy have increased their wealth by X amount of pounds and the poor have got poorer. And it's like the reason why the poor get poorer is because the poor spend money on crap, TVs and cars and cigarettes and beer and nights out and Netflix and no, shopping. Get rid of it all. Start saving the money. Start putting the money into something. Be debt-free. If you've got debts, pay down your credit cards. Move some of that money over so that you're now making money off the money. And in 20 years' time, it starts really slow, but in 20 years' time, it starts going up and up and up. Now, I said we'd do it two ways. One was for me here in Spain, and the other was over in the UK. I was looking yesterday at properties in the UK, and I was looking at how much money down, what are the sort of returns that you're getting. And I came across a property yesterday, and it was on Facebook, and there's some new builds that are just being built. They're one-bed flats for £70,000. Let's just have a look at the math. £70,000 minus 20% is £14,000, which gives you, so basically you need 14 grand to get into that deal. Okay, now you've got stamp duty on top and then you've got solicitor's fees. Let's say 17 grand in total. Okay, 17 grand is 10 months at £1,700 or it's 20 months at £850. You can do the maths, okay? It comes out at £56,000. That's how much you need to finance at 2.5%. I'm uncomfortable, by the way, at 2.5%. So you want to stress test this at like 5%. But anyway, it's £1,400. It's £116 a month. That's what the interest-only aspect of that mortgage is. So on a property at 70, like minimum, you're going to get £450 on that. So now, I know you've got service charges. Take 100 off that, £350. Take the mortgage off. You're about £240 up. £240 times 12, 240 times 12 is 2,880 divided by the £17,000. Now, if you don't know how to do these numbers, by the way, you need to sign up on the property sourcing training because we go through how to calculate yields, how to calculate return on investments. But actually, we're talking about a return on investment right there on that deal of about 17%. Obviously, I've made up some numbers just for brevity. Not used that word for a long time. But that's a return on investment of about 17%. So 17 grand down will make you £200 a month, call it 250 a month, about 240 it was, call it 250. It'll make you 250 quid a month. Now, how many of those deals do you need to cover your rent? Let's say four of those deals. So you need £17,000 times four. You need 68 grand. 68 grand will get you £1,000 a month. Every month, as long as it's rented, that's not taking into account any repairs, any voids, any management fees. You want to be managing it yourself anyway, frankly. If it's close to you, definitely want to be doing that. And as you get more and more properties, you get better economies of scale. And I hear this all the time, and I had this conversation yesterday. The problem isn't that you've got one property and, you know, you've got problem tenants. That is the problem, in fact. It's not the tenants. It's the fact you've got one property. If you've got 100 properties that in one location, that's not the problem, okay? Because if one tenant doesn't pay a rent and doesn't leave, it's 1%. That's all your problem is. You've got all this income coming in from elsewhere. Most people's problems are that they haven't grown quick enough, fast enough to have those kind of problems. They just hang around one or two or three properties, and one or two or three properties takes just as much time as 10 or 20 properties. Obviously, when you get past that, you've got more work to do, but economies of scale per property actually reduce. When I was looking at, you know, we were looking at life insurance, and it was £300 per month. And I'm like, gosh, that's an awful lot of money, 300 quid a month. But actually, when we look at, you know, we're talking like £3.5 million worth of cover there. But I'm like, put it into context. Divide £300 by how many properties you've got. Now, if you've got 60 properties, that's £5 per property. That's worth doing. But if in context, you know, it's worth doing. Out of context, it's totally not worth doing. Let's go back to this one here. So you've got to work out what's best for you. Now, there's some things going on right here. And some of the things that are going on right here are some of the mental aspects. So you use weight loss and the fasting. My fasting week's been terrible this week. I had a McDonald's yesterday. Anyway, so what happens is people can't go to bed hungry. And the reason why they can't go to bed hungry is, first of all, they think they're going to die. And after a while, they realize they're not going to die. So they get rid of that. Then the next problem is they can't go to bed hungry because it reminds them of when they used to be younger and mum and dad had no money to feed them, so they went to bed hungry. And it worries them that they can't sleep because it feels like they're going to bed poor. Okay, it's really interesting. So in the context of property, a lot of people, they feel like they have to buy their own house because if not, what, you've got millions of pounds of property, but you rent? I thought you were wealthy. It's like, oh yeah, I am. And they go out and they spend money on a property to kind of hide the fact that they, you know, not hide the fact, to pretend that they're wealthy in some way. And it's like, you know, the example I used was the big hat, no cattle. It comes from the book, The Millionaire Next Door. Big hat, no cattle means big hat. I look good, but I've got no assets, okay? I look dreadful, but I've got the assets. I've got a small hat, lots of cattle. I've got lots of properties, lots of cash flow, lots of different places for cash flow. And that is my protection right there. If I lose one property and it goes down for whatever reason, it's fine. All the others are there and I'm protected because I've got, you know, strength in numbers. But other people, they buy a big house, nice car, and they've got zero assets. You don't want to be that person. Forget about what everybody else says. Forget about what your friends say. Forget about your mum and dad. Forget about what the schmucks at your work say. Because they're schmucks, right? You know the schmucks because they're in a job like you. You're a schmuck too. I used to be the schmuck, okay? Going to work thinking this is great, losing 33% in tax just off day one on, you know, as a 20% taxpayer because you've got national insurance. National insurance is 9%, but your employer has to cover, what is it? Is it 9% again? I forget. Your employer has to cover the same. You're actually paying 40% tax because your employer is paying national insurance contributions. You're paying them too, but you don't get to see the bit that your employer is having to pay for it. Now, if you get to a 45% taxpayer or a 50% taxpayer, you're an even bigger schmuck because you're losing 55 to 60% approximately of your income because there's a proportion of your income that you never see, and it's called national insurance contributions from your employer. Hell, most people don't even understand this. I didn't understand it until I ran my own business and we had UK staff. And I'm like, to my accountant, dude, what the fuck is this? I pay enough tax. What's this? Oh, yeah, that's tax that you're paying for employees. Like, how about I don't employ UK people then? How about that, Mr. Corbyn? How about you like them apples? Oh, it's good ranty today. I hope you're enjoying this one. So, by the way, I'm open for questions. If you guys got any comments or questions, I know there's a couple of people watching right now. So you've got to work out what's best for you, okay? But you've also got to work out, when you're working out what's best for you, where is that information coming from? Is it coming from your friends? Is it coming from your family, your mum and dad, the schmucks at work? Where is it coming from? Is it coming from people who live in different tax residences? What works for Grant might not work here in the UK, and what works in the UK might not work here in Spain. So we've got a problem in Spain, okay? And the problem is that tenants have a lot more tenant rights in terms of eviction. It can take up to a year, maybe 2 years to get a tenant out. If they don't want to leave, it causes a few more problems, okay? So now we're working around a solution to that, and we've got a solution to it, and we're not going to tell you what it is because intellectual property and all that, we can't give the whole farm away. We already give enough away with the property sourcing training, and there's a lot of information there if you've not signed up for that. But it's like, you know, understanding where you are and what the rules are very, very important before you start investing, and also having a balanced portfolio, which I definitely have not got, which is why we're looking at buying in Spain. We've got to get a mortgage through yet. I'm not even resident yet. So me getting a mortgage here in Spain is a whole new ball game. And we're thinking about paying cash for these 45 grand units. So, which is not bad. It's not the best return on investment in comparison to, you know, getting a loan, getting a mortgage. LIBOR rate's like 1%. I mean, it's mega cheap right now to get finance. But again, you know, I see people going out and getting millions of pounds of property at 1%. And I'm like, dude, what if it goes to 3%? You just tripled your interest rates. And now you've tripled your outgoing. It's a good bust, you know? And so everything is about, it's like spinning plates. You've got to spin all these different plates. But having balance with the force, young Padawan, is very, very important too. But then balancing that with what do you want long term? Do you want to move your money into a house because it makes you feel better, makes you look good in front of your parents, and I just bought my own house? I mean, I know what the answer is to this, but my job is not to tell you what the answer is. I'm going to. But it's for you to work it out as well. And the answer is, don't buy your own stuff. The only time you might need to buy is buy some piece of shit place, some low-end piece of junk place, so that it makes it easier for you to get normal mortgages. Obviously, speak to Richard Ignatovich, who's on my friends list on Facebook. He's one of our clients too. He's the mortgage broker we'll be speaking to, buy-to-let and finance, personal mortgages and so on. And he's very, very knowledgeable and experienced. But he's the guy that you want to be going out to speak to. You know, is it easier if I have my own residence for me to get buy-to-let mortgages, or does it not matter? And I don't know what the answer is to that, folks. I've not bought my own residence for quite some time now. And I can't imagine I would ever buy my own residence. We're in a debate here with the missus. She wants to buy. And I'm like, I would rather put that money into property that gives me a better return on investment, and then let's just pay twice as much rent and get an even nicer place. The reason why we might buy is because we want stability for the little one who's 5. And we're here for at least 13 years before we go traveling, because that's where her school is. And then after that, we'll be a worldwide domiciliary, I think is the phrase. But you've got to work this stuff out for yourself. What do you want? But most people never get this conversation. This conversation is really, really important. So that will do us for today. I hope that's useful. A good couple of rants in there. If you wanted to listen to this again, this will be released in a couple of days on the podcast. If you go to daniellatto.co.uk/iTunes, you can download it if you're on an iPhone. Or if you just go to the website, you'll find all the podcasts there anyway. Just do a search for me on your favorite podcast app, and you'll find all the latest podcasts we upload. I think we're like up to 300 and something, 320, something like that. Anyway, we'll catch up with you on Friday, where we'll go live on the Mindset and Hustle show. Hope you enjoyed today, and we'll catch up with you soon. My name's Dan Latto. Have a good couple of days. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.